became aware of the power of conversation when I was a stay-at-home mom of three preschoolers. Friends would call and I'd talk their ears off, desperate for adult communication. If I remember correctly, some of them quit calling. When the children became teenagers, I loved driving them wherever they needed to go, as when there was no eye contact, they were much more open and talkative, giving me an important view into their worlds.
Too much of living, breathing, and being alone opened that window specifically with Agnes. When deep in the ugly grays of winter, I called her out of the blue to ask if she would simply phone me for just 1 week for 5 minutes, just to ask me what I was doing for the day, so I could talk to someone, hear another voice. Note, loneliness being one of our conversational themes over the last year, to make my long story even longer, before long it was Agnes who suggested that our 5 minute sound checks were actually interesting, and going on for 20-30 minutes, we would just take off. I firmly believe that conversation saves us. It heals and reveals.
And now, as a boomer who doesn't have any interest in retiring, I am rejuvenated, replenished by conversation. I'm cognizant of the power and the importance of both conversation and story. And Suleika, I appreciate always being able to exchange ideas, thoughts, and words with you.
Well, one other thing. Whenever I mention that our podcast is called The Lost Art of Conversation, the response is always positive. There's always an emotional response of, oh, great, that's a great idea. So going with that, let's go with it.
Let's go. And hello again. It's July 30th, 2020. Oh my goodness, where has this year disappeared to? Like, that is the seventh month, so we're even more than halfway through. It's Agnes here again, one boomer woman. I think Suleika, Mar Suleika, will be back soon. Definitely tomorrow night on Pissed On Podcast. We've managed to get back into that Friday night routine because it's so much fun. So this is called the COVID edition. I need to put a little editorial comment in here that this is Agnes's viewpoint. These are Agnes's viewpoints. They aren't necessarily Mar Suleika's, but that's what happens when you leave me alone with a mic. Mar Suleika and I have been known to disagree on a few things, which is also good to point out because our friendship transcends that. So if we can't find a middle ground, it's like, okay, like there's a whole bunch of stuff that we agree on. We're friends. We have great respect for each other. We care for each other. So here's one subject that we won't visit often because we don't agree. And why do you want to argue with a good friend? I just don't get that part. Anyway, so that's my editorial comment. As I say, I've got the mic all alone tonight, so it's all about me. Now, I also need to point out that I'm in the recognizable, enviable position of living in the same house as family. This means I see my grandsons 4 to 5 days a week because I do the caregiving while they're both their parents, who are still employed, thank goodness, work from home. So while many are longing to see their children and grandchildren, there are days when honestly I long for a day off from seeing my family. Yeah, so being grandma on duty is fabulous, but as I say, I'm tired a lot. That's just my fact of life. So I do recognize that fact that I have this amazing position, and a lot of people don't. Then they miss it. They long for it. Brings them to tears in some cases. Now, that said, I do still have a daughter in another city with two children who I have not seen for 8 months. And I have a son in another country. It's the U.S., so who knows when I'll see next. Like borders are, thank goodness, for the technology that we do have, you know, whether it's Skype or FaceTime or, you know, any of the above possibilities, Zoom, and even just texting, just to touch base, make sure people are still healthy. Still standing is what I often text to my son, just to know that, you know, he and his partner are still standing. Okay, so first of all, I do believe this is a pandemic. I believe that this disease, COVID, like the plague and the Spanish flu and so many other blights on the health of the people of the world in days gone by has the potential to wipe out a million people or more before it's reined in. Now, there are many who are making light of it, many who believe it's a hoax or a conspiracy or an attempt to squash our civil liberties, and I respect those opinions, even if I don't understand them. But my question right at the moment to start out with is, if any of the above were true, would COVID be found in 213 countries in the territories when the absolute maximum number that could be considered either of the above is 232? Now, that's one hell of a power base for it to be a conspiracy, no matter who your country's leader is. So let's go, for the sake of argument, that this is a real flu, the likes of which we've never seen before. We have international travel, like we've never seen in history before, which can contribute to its spread. We have a greater number of impoverished people in the world than ever before, which contributes to its death toll. But there are such a brilliant number, a huge number of brilliant scientists in the world, besides the ones in my country or yours, who have rallied to analyze this disease, get over and under and around and through it, and they are learning more daily. Which is why some of them say or recommend something one day or week, and then change lanes days or weeks later. That's not proof it's all a hoax. That's the nature of science. To the best of my knowledge, there has not been a single aha moment in science when everything came clear all at once. Someone discovers something repeatably provable, and the next person starts there and finds out more, and it's a system that compounds. It's pretty amazing, really. And yes, of course, there will always be those who want a bit of limelight, so they spout theories that negate research, and they'll always have supporters. Now, I liken that group to those people I avoid having conversations with. You know, you recount something, or you're proud of an achievement, and there's someone who has done something better, or knows someone more important, and they up you at every turn. You either quit talking, or you avoid them. And then there's this whole, it started in China, they should have been on top of it group. Well, maybe it did. But a couple of things come to mind here. Apparently it surfaced in about December of 2019. There is so much celebration around the world of events in December, be you Christian or otherwise, and people travel to be with family, to be with home, whatever that looks like. And it was probably spreading before anyone realized the impact. Now, given that fact, what did your government do once it was recognized as being on your shores? Did they make light of it, or did they leap into action to protect you, their valued citizen? And, once again, this is an opinion thing, but as for that China thing, so many Asian people have been slammed, beaten, ostracized, no matter where in Asia they hail from. Now, can you really tell an Asian someone who was in that market in December from someone who has lived in your country for generations, whose grandparents were from China or perhaps some nearby Asian country? Can you tell that just by looking at them? Think about it. Okay, then there's the civil liberties group. Yes, I wear a mask in closed public spaces. Just like I wear a seatbelt because it's mandated by law. Just like I wear a helmet on both my bicycle and my motorcycle. And I will not die from asphyxiation from wearing that mask. Good heavens, surgeons would drop like flies if that were the case. They wear masks for hours upon hours, not just the 30 minutes it takes you to do a grocery shop. Now, the other reason I wear a mask is because I spend so many hours a week with people I love. One of the grandsons who arrives each morning just after 7 a.m. is 2 years old. The elderly client I spend afternoons with is 88. You know, I would be mortified if I thought for a second I had spread the disease to anyone, let alone any one of those I love. I recently watched an Iranian nurse sobbing on the news because he knew he had brought the disease home and that his mother had died because she caught it. It was heart-wrenching and a story I'm sure too many will tell. And do you want to add that story to your list? Okay, yes, I'm on my bandwagon, but I'm not going to apologize. This is real. Our knowledge changes daily. It does not change my life in any way to keep my socialization minimal and to wear one of the great collection of masks I have. Do you want to see one of my kitty cat masks, or my eagle mask, or my Joker grin mask? Or do you want me to buy one for you next week when I go to buy my Corin Queen mask? It has that written across the front. It's great. The only disadvantage I suffer from time to time is wearing a mask. You do realize if you have bad breath or not. Okay. So now the other thing, while I'm just bouncing around on this bandwagon, on several occasions recently, I have commented that the whole COVID fatigue thing was ridiculous. It's been 4 months. I suggested that I'd love to talk to a person who was a child in England in the early 1940s, who said to their mum, "But mummy, I want to go play in the street." And mummy said, "No, go play in the basement like you have for the past 3 years because it's a bomb shelter." Well, recently I met that person. She was 7 in the early 40s, and she reminded me that not only was my story accurate, but they were also on rations. And even when the war ended, they were on rations for years, and such luxuries as just even ice cream were unheard of. We are being asked to social distance with people we don't know well and to wear a mask in indoor public spaces. Now, I don't know about you, but I eat ice cream. I drink wine. I order in whatever suits my fancy tonight. Yeah, those are real inconveniences. Well, if you're still with me, thank you. If I've hit a nerve of any sort, please feel free to share this episode. If you want to challenge me, the link is in the show notes. Please be aware I have only one rule. As soon as you're rude, you're wrong. Now, this is going to be a short episode tonight, and I do need to end it on a slightly more upbeat note. So let me share some of the quotes I've seen floating around recently. I love this one. "Don't let them take your temperature on your forehead as you enter the supermarket because it erases your memory. I went for macaroni and cheese and came home with 2 cases of beer." "Do not call the police about suspicious people in your neighborhood. These are your neighbors without hair coloring, makeup, and hair extensions." Okay, Sir Isaac Newton, gotta love this one. "Think you're bored? Sir Isaac Newton invented calculus during the plague." Do you have any idea how bored you must be to invent calculus? And then finally, which, yeah, I can identify with this to a certain extent. "3 hours into homeschooling and one is suspended for skipping class and the other has already been expelled." Okay, that's your lighter confusion. It's a really short one tonight. Just looked at the clock and I think if I stretch this out, I could make 15 minutes, including the intro and outro. Yeah, as I mentioned at the beginning, it's the COVID episode. How do you feel about it? Like, seriously, did I hit a note in any way, shape, form? Or do you think in the left field? Maybe you even agree with me. Ooh, that'd be fun. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. As mentioned earlier, the link to join the conversation will be in the show notes. And yeah, if you are interested in joining us for a drink this weekend, it is Pissed On Podcast. And yeah, just search it wherever you listen to podcasts, and we will see you then. Marsuleika and I are back in action, and we always have fun because we have a couple of drinks. All right. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you again. It's Agnes. Bye.